Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Adkins. All right. Well, given the fact that it's August and school is starting up in some parts of the U.S., Tennessee including, and I still have about a month left before my kids go back to school in September, I guess the big question is, what does this mean for the church? So when you think about our context, COVID, I mean, really started shutting everything down in March. And when you think about that, there's on the Canadian side, there's a wage subsidy program. On the American side, there is the, what was it called? What was the help program from the government called for employers?
I don't know. There's so many. There's like a PPP. There's
That's right.
Yeah. All different kinds of things.
Yeah. So there are all those. And so when we think about that and those programs, really those programs were intended on trying to prevent layoffs from happening. Yet in some cases, it really was delaying the inevitable. So as it relates to the church context, there's that sense of, oh, okay, we have a little bit more support, we're delaying this, but if giving continues down this trajectory and is not at what it used to be, then, or the flip side is, actually, ministry has changed. We're now not only physical, but we are digital too. And we're meeting again, but there's still a whole portion of our church that is digital. So you're thinking, oh, what does hiring look like? Or do we have the resources to hire? So what we're going to be doing on today's episode, on episode 514, and the next one that Todd and I are together on 516, we're going to be doing a two-part episode. One, today, starting on the firing side of things, and on 516 to talk about the hiring side. And then actually on 518, we're then going to be talking about that notion of combining digital and physical and what that would look like. So let's start today on the firing side. So Todd, you are at a church and you're looking at the books and you need to reduce your hours. You need to reduce someone's hours. You need to, let's say you need to get rid of one full-time equivalent because it's just not working out and you've been delaying it as long as you can. This is someone that you want on the team. It's not like you're using COVID, quote unquote, as an excuse to fire someone. I mean, you really do want this person on the team, but you can't afford it. How do you go about that situation?
Well, I want to back up just a second and just say, you know, when you're looking at your budget on the personnel side of things, it's really a difficult thing because often it feels like family. And so especially the smaller the church, the more difficult that situation, I think, becomes. So you really have to consider this. At the same time, if you're not careful during this time, your personnel budget or your staffing budget can greatly exceed your ministry budget. Mm-hmm. So whereas, you know, before COVID, you might be okay and you're at like 40% of your budget is staffing. Suddenly you're several months in and you've cut all this other things to save, you know, people. And which you probably should, but you just have to be aware that, oh, now my budget is 60% staffing. It just flipped because we had to, you know, do these. And we cut some of these ministries. Why? Because, well, they weren't happening anyway. So we didn't have to spend money on them and, you know, yada, yada. Well, to remain solvent as we move into the final phase of this year and consider looking at next year, it really has to be a sobering conversation because you need to decide what ministry has stopped and isn't coming back, what ministry has shifted that will come back, and then how am I shifting dollars around to cover all that. Mm-hmm. And I also have to look at the framework of not framework, but, you know, mission, men, and methods for ministry. Those are three elements of ministry. The mission doesn't change, but the men and the methods might.
Yeah.
And so, man, that's the whole other ball of wax here that we have to consider, because it is what is going to change permanently and what just changed temporarily, and what, when I'm thinking about the men and methods, who do I have on my team that matches up with the way that the mission is going to be carried forward in the future? So sorry, yeah. I didn't answer your question at all.
No, that's the starting framework, right?
I just wanted to start out with some type of framework, because that's naturally how my mind processes things, because, you know, I want to make sure I'm making the right decision and not just a sentimental decision based on the past or loyalty. Or should we be loyal? Yes, we should be loyal as much as we can be. But at the same time, as a steward of what God has given us, we have to make wise decisions. Yes, we want to honor people. We want to honor God's word. But we have to recognize that that this mission has to be carried forward, and we have the right people on the team.
Okay. But so let me add another layer of complexity here. Okay. So you painted that picture really well. Because of COVID, a lot of ministry expenses were able to be cut. Now there's this sense of flipping where there's likely more money going towards staffing than ministry expenses at this moment. And you're looking at that and you're like, oh, but what if people are, you know, accountants and, you know, executive pastors or associate pastors or solo guys are looking at this with their finance committee and they're like, okay, but this is really just a COVID thing. And then, you know, by next year, for example, everything's going to go back to normal when there's a vaccine, you know, just as an idea. And they're like, we just need to maintain this model for an extra year. Are we okay with that? So there's that conversation of being like, man, I don't want to fire this person because they have a family. They are like family, and they're not someone I want to let go. They are so important. I can't even imagine what ministry is going to look like without them. So there's that heart side of it. But the other side of it is, let's say you let them go and everything shifts and giving picks up, and now you need to replace that position and that person isn't available. Well, you're actually going to be spending quite a bit of money now recruiting. And then when that new person comes, there's that onboarding time, which is more wasted ministry time, and there's all of that side of it. So just to add some more elements of complexity, I guess that is right now the reality that so many pastors and churches are trying to wrestle with. How do we deal with that?
Well, I think first of all, I'm looking at the ministry and the people that they're developing. That's the marker. It always should be the marker. I mean, you know, I have a dozen one-liners that have to do with development versus placement versus, you know, whatever. There's a bunch. You all already know where I stand. Mm-hmm. However, I don't want to pay. It's easy for me to replace someone who just does stuff. It is not easy for me to replace people that develop people and develop ministry. And, you know, you could argue that developing people is developing ministry, because ultimately those people should be the carriers of the ministry. Mm-hmm. And so all that to say, like the first people that I'm looking at would be the first positions I'm looking at are the positions that just do stuff, or the people that just do stuff. Mm-hmm. So naturally people would say, you'd hear somebody say, hey, come into your budget and look at contractors and cut your contractors first. And I would say, not necessarily. Mm-hmm. Because there are some, there are reasons why some of those people are contracting work currently. And that those may be strategic, and they may be also from a cost benefit analysis of having someone that is doing tasks, or someone who is particularly gifted to do, you know, one thing. Awesome. Then make that a contracted position. There may be things on your staff that you move from being a full-time position to a contracted position or a part-time position, because you may have a guy who is leading a ministry but the ministry no longer requires a full-time person. Mm-hmm. Now, what I have to come back around to what you just said. It is really difficult to replace people. There's costs that aren't often considered as far as the time that you spend recruiting someone, moving someone, you know, across the country, sometimes from another country. There's all those things to be considered as well. So you don't want to do this haphazardly. But the big thing I would say is, you know, have a plan and have a contingency plan for your plan. Mm-hmm. So for that pastor who's dealing with a group of people who just want to kind of stick their head in the sand and say, oh, well, you know, we don't know what is going to happen. Why don't we just wait and see? And I would say, well, we've kind of done that for the last 4 months. And it, from all intents and purposes, it looks like we're probably going to have a second wave of this thing, and it's going to go into 2021. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of unknowns, and I'm not wanting to paint a pessimistic view. I always want to be an optimist. However, you know, if we think that people are going to just immediately come back, we've already seen that in some of our churches reopening, and in some places, at least in the U.S., where they didn't have a whole lot of restrictions and not everybody came back. You know, only mm-hmm. half of their people came back, and they were expecting more. You know, and different people are expecting different levels of giving. But the big thing I would say that's still the outlier, and I mentioned this in a previous episode, is most churches will get, especially mid-sized and large churches, will get 30 to 40% of their giving in the month of December. Mm. And guys, December is not here yet, and we do not know what that will look like. So a lot of people are just now beginning to realize, uh-oh, I'm operating, you know, in the red. My budget is fine, but my cash flow is not fine.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Or have completely. I just talked around in a big circle again?
No, you're right. This is what we need to be thinking about. This is all a part of the decision, because part of it is, you know, you got to think, okay, what are creative ways that we can make this work? What are creative ways? Because first of all, if you have an equipper, if you have someone who is a developer of people and of the ministry, I mean, human capital, human, your talent are, I mean, it is the most important part of your ministry. Absolutely. and is so important to help you. That's the thing that's going to help you scale. It's not some program or some curriculum or a great message. This, I mean, all that is great, but it's the people on your team that are the multipliers of ministry. So in light of that, I would say before you even go about trying to or having that conversation with someone that you need to let go, be honest with them. If they are that important to you, be honest with them about the books. Be honest with them with, and don't do it where it's like, hey, we can only afford your next paycheck. After that, we can't. No, do it ahead of time. Because they, if they are that important to you, then they are going to be creative as well. There's the beautiful constraint, and we'll link it in the show notes, the Ministry Grid course that Todd, you and the team developed, where it really is a course on how do you, there's this whole paradigm, right? What is it called? If then?
If no, because people say I can't because, and you say I can if.
Yes.
You know, we can if we do. So there's a we can if framework. It's really a formula that you use to ferret out, okay, you say we can't, but we can if we use this resource instead of that resource, or we can if we fund it by. So it exactly. gives you a framework to walk through so that even your most staunch keeper of the status quo has to reckon with walking through all nine of those. Mm-hmm. And more often than not, you're going to find a creative solution just by using that tool to kind of like jog your mind for something. So it's yeah. one thing to think about creative things creatively with a big open sandbox. But when you use something, a tool like that, it really becomes a catalyst for creativity.
Yeah. And it's been neat to see my team here use that and to think about reopening and all of that and planning for the ministry in the fall. So yes, definitely do the we can if exercise. But here are two things just to take away as well. Number one, you've probably thought about lowering or doing a percentage cut for all staff. So that's another thing to consider if you really do need to keep them on. And these are people where you just can't replace. But the other thing to consider is going back to my book that came out several months ago, You Are What You Do and Six Other Lies About Work, Life, and Love. The whole premise of the book is that we are living in the gig economy. So part of this is possibly a challenge for you or maybe that teammate that you want to keep on and be like, hey, this is where it's at. We have to cut your salary in half, but I want to help you find a gig. Or maybe you allow some of that time on your staff to be like, okay, we're going to cut everyone's hours by 10. Maybe we're not going to do a percentage reduction, but we're going to cut everyone's hours by five hours across the board so that you have the opportunity to find a gig. Maybe that's delivering food. Maybe that's driving Uber. Maybe that's whatever. There's so many opportunities that we have right now in the gig economy to have that side hustle. And perhaps that is an opportunity to say, hey, in the short term, while we're in the situation that we're at, why don't we all do this and see this not necessarily as a way to, not necessarily a paycheck thing. I mean, there is definitely the means of the paycheck, but let's see it as an evangelistic opportunity and
That's
as a way
to say side hustle yeah. gospel.
Yes, hey, exactly.
I don't care Completely. If you have a side hustle, just make sure that there's some gospel attached to it, especially yeah. if I'm reducing your hours.
Yes.
The other thing that I think is really important to understand is when you cut salary or when you cut people, you have to also reduce ministry. Mm. Churches are notorious for getting in a crunch
yeah, that's
and
true.
cutting people, and then they don't stop anything. They mm-hmm. just continue to do it, and they spread the work out to the people that remain. And that is a recipe for mediocrity, if not disaster, because believe it or not, guys, especially coming through this, some of your best people will have opportunities, if not during COVID or on the other side of COVID. And if you continue to dump on them, only the mediocre people will stay because even in a downturn economy, people that are killing it and people that develop people, they're gonna always have a spot.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yes. The other thing to consider, if let's say you do get down all the line and you're like, man, okay, we really do need to let this person go. You have to think about severance as well, right? You need to treat. It's not just about onboarding well, we need to let people go. We need to offboard really well because that is going to be, I mean, that is the story that's going to be shared over and over and over again once that person leaves. And the worst thing that you want to do in your community, in being a light and salt in your community, is have a bad reputation for how you treat your employees and your team members. So that's definitely something to consider. But yeah, I would say there definitely is that gradient of, and there are some individuals who you do not want to fire, but you do need to do something about the budget. That's really what this episode was for, really being able to think through all of that. But then there's the flip side where this is someone who, performance review after performance review, they have just been mediocre and underperforming, and you've had several conversations along the way. Then there just comes a point where you need to pull the plug. And you need to do that right in a proper way, respecting and honoring them, and also trying to create space so that they can find their next serve as well. All right. So we're so over time for the average length of our episodes. So what we're going to do is we're going to wrap this episode up. And then next time we're going to talk all about the hiring side of things. If there's something in particular in this episode where you're like, oh, you need to, you just bypass that, or Daniel, Todd, you got to double click on that, then we want to know what that is, and we'll do another episode on that. All you have to do is go to speakpipe.com/newchurches if you're on your mobile device, or if you're on your computer, just go to newchurches.com and hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail. Do that, send in your question, reference this episode number, and ask your follow-up question, and we would love to address that on a future episode. All right, thanks again for listening in, and we'll catch you next time.